Spy in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Afghanistan, the evacuation, the flight from Kabul in August of 2021. The Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, SIGAR, issues a document in these last days entitled Why the Afghan Security Forces Collapse. It is disheartening, but it is lessons learned about the U.S. commitment overseas, especially in the World Isle in Eurasia. I'm very pleased to welcome my colleague, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, Hussein Haqqani, now of the Hudson Institute, to comment on the SIGAR report because it documents what specifically happened, and then it speaks to the larger story of how the U.S. conducted itself in Afghanistan over many years. Mr. Ambassador, it's a very good evening to you. The subject, however, is grim. The tragedy of August 2021 will be with us for centuries. It was an abandonment of people who had committed themselves, their families, their lives, their fortunes to supporting NATO and the U.S. in specific in the fight against the Taliban for decades, and also in the Ghani government then in power in Kabul. So I want to begin, before I get into the details of SIGAR, your thoughts now, more than a year and a half later, about the collapse, and especially the collapse in terms of the whole region, not just Afghanistan. Good evening to you, Mr. Ambassador.
Good evening. Look, John, you started off by saying lessons learned. Unfortunately, I'm not too sure. I think that this too shall pass is more a maxim in the United States than lessons learned. We would have learned some lessons from Vietnam if we would have liked. Some of the things that happened in Vietnam are obvious in the SIGAR report about having been repeated in Afghanistan. And there are issues that they did not tackle. They did not tackle the question of safe havens for the insurgents, which were over the across the border. They did not tackle the other issue of the longer term mistakes that the United States made. For example, not understanding the tribal nature of Afghanistan, trying to impose a very American way of life instead of allowing their way of life to be nurtured in a democratic way and in a democratic sense. So it is, I think this is more about the military elements. And once again, in South Vietnam also, it had been concluded that the U.S. made the mistake of trying to create an American army in South Vietnam instead of a South Vietnamese army. And the time limits were a major problem. For example, you don't create an army and the esprit de corps and with officers all the way from lieutenant to general in a few years. Now, in Afghanistan, the U.S. constantly talked about leaving, and that created, of course, morale issues. But more important, it takes about 30 years for an American lieutenant to become a general. How was it expected that an Afghan will become a general in 5-10 years just because various presidents wanted to get out of Afghanistan? And lastly, of course, the agreement that was done in Doha was shameful and basically reflected an abandonment of Afghanistan. The Afghan military, the SIGAR report very clearly says, had been trained to be supported by air by the Americans. They just did not have an air force. And the readiness of the Air Force was meant to be in 2030. So how was an Air Force that was to be ready in 2030 to fight in 2020 or 2021 should be a question that should be asked of those who created an artificial timeline for withdrawal. Lastly, there were logistical problems. There were no supplies for these soldiers towards the end who were fighting very bravely because the Americans had kept all technical and technological things, including logistical supply chains, in their own hands. And then when their president decided, OK, we are out, all of these chains were disrupted and the Afghans did not have logistical support.
What I hear from you is very clearly an analysis of the very first factor that the SIGAR report found was responsible. In other words, not what we saw in the video from Kabul in those hectic, frantic, fraught days, but decisions made before, as the SIGAR report reads, the decision to withdraw all U.S. military forces fundamentally changed the behaviors of the U.S., the Ghani administration, and the Taliban. In other words, the mistakes were made before those days in August, and you identify the agreement itself from Doha as the first and worst mistake. Is that correct?
I would say that the first and worst mistake was going into Afghanistan and overextending our mission. Look, the United States went there to eliminate Al-Qaeda, to eliminate the Taliban. That should have been the mission. Instead, what happened was America's politics, as it always does, took over. And so now you had all kinds of issues that were American. For example, the evangelicals in the Republican Party wanted to evangelize. The liberals and the woke crowd in the Democratic Party wanted to promote their various agendas, and money was channelized towards them from U.S. aid. Americans always kept complaining, oh, a lot of American money is being spent in Afghanistan, but it wasn't being spent on Afghan issues or on Afghan concerns. It was being spent on American concerns. So that was a bigger, longer-term mistake. But then there was the mistake of trying to create a technology-dependent army in a less technologically advanced country. And lastly, there was the agreement. You sign an agreement without your ally on board with your enemy. It's totally unusual. Probably has never happened in history. You usually do keep your ally on board when you are virtually surrendering to your army, which is what the Trump administration did when it signed the Doha Accord.
Mr. Ambassador, you mentioned Vietnam earlier in your opening remarks. A long time ago, but my generation is scarred by that memory. And as I recall, again and again, maybe it was simple, but the version that I had when I was in college was, the U.S. should never get involved in a land war in Asia. Is that still helpful to understand what mistakes were made in Afghanistan? The U.S. cannot project power and hold on that far away.
9/11 was, of course, the reason why America went into Afghanistan, which was not the case in Vietnam. So Afghanistan was not completely a war of choice. At the same time, it was an American choice of what it wanted to do once it had gotten into Afghanistan. And here I would say that the Americans made a series of mistakes. Look, it's not a matter of choice when and how you will fight. The United States has the world's best fighting force. We have the largest defense budget in the world. We have the strongest military, and that's what gives us the claim to global leadership since the Second World War. If you're going to do that, then one of the things we have to understand is that the countries where we may be required to fight, we need to understand them. And we need to explain them to our own people. The problem is that after the initial heat of 9/11, Americans forgot why we went there, and leaders didn't explain. It all became about budget wars in Congress and the battles on the American home front. If America is going to be a global superpower and it's going to lead the world, then it has to understand the world. And that involves understanding the country where you are sending your men and women to fight. And that was just never done. How many people do you think still understand and know Afghanistan, even though hundreds of thousands of brave men and women have gone to Afghanistan and fought there, many killed and many injured and maimed for life?
Ambassador Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, commenting on the most recent explanation of what went wrong in Kabul in those days in August of 2021 from the Office of the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. Isn't there a lot of irony in that title? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.